All right, today is the worst day yet for weather. It is December 1st, though, as I record this, so it seems appropriate. And I mean, it's still not really bad. By Canadian standards, this is not bad at all, but it's, I think it's like 10 degrees, but it's kind of windy. It's very overcast. It's been intermittently raining on me. And I found a weather website that I like that has, you know, how does it feel? Yeah, this is how cold it is, but how does it feel? And it claimed it felt like it was 5 degrees. And I can feel that for sure. This is all in Celsius, of course. Because I'm wearing more layers than I've ever worn. I've got a t-shirt, a thermal shirt, my bigger jacket, and my rain-resistant jacket. So yeah, the big jacket, I was seriously considering tossing it in a donation box or something somewhere. And now I'm glad I didn't. And now my Canadian preparedness has really come through. Because basically the trick with Canada is it is really cold in the winter. It's horrifying. But as long as you're prepared, it's the coolest time of year. No pun intended. It's, you know, it could be minus 23 degrees and it's like you're walking through a fucking snow globe. But as long as you got a great big coat on and huge mitts and a big hat and maybe even a face mask, just everything that you need, then it's delightful. It's like the most interesting, coolest time of the year. But if you're not prepared, it's horror-fucking-fying. Which I always think back to, like, school. Goddamn. Just like, it's not cool to wear gloves. It's not cool to wear a hat. It's not cool. It's like, yeah, good, good. Now every second that I'm outside is like a literal danger to my life. This is definitely worth it. It's nice to be an adult where no one gives a sweet fuck. It is funny the amount of just eyes on you in school when you're a kid is like weird. Once you grow up, nobody gives sweet fuck all about what you're doing, and it's very nice. But yeah, when it was 22 degrees when I first got here in late October, and I'm just like sweating to death, and I'm looking at all these coats that I was dragging between Airbnbs, and it's like, man, if I put those on, they would actively start killing me. There's no way I need all these. But now I'm glad I got them. Because, yeah, this makes the difference between can't really go outside today to like, yeah, this is fine. If anything, I mean, I've got my little pair of stretchy gloves. I'm starting to question if that's enough. Am I going to need heavier gloves? I might. I just might. But yeah, it's all relative. This is the worst day by Japan standards, especially here in Fukuoka. But by Canadian standards, no biggie. Because this is what I expected from day one. Because when I left Montreal, the weather was getting pretty dicey. And I flew through Calgary, which was a serious nightmare. It was minus 12 degrees. There was fucking snow everywhere. They had to de-ice the plane. It's like, dude, it's still October. What in the sweet fuck? And I know there's snow in my home province of New Brunswick right now. So yeah, relatively speaking, this is fine. And this is what I thought I signed up for. I thought coming to Japan in the fall, I would get there, it would be very chilly, it would be overcast and drizzly. But that was fine because I thought, you know, I could go at a slightly less touristy time. I was just excited to go back to Japan in general after 4 years stuck at home. I didn't want to spend another winter in Canada, because as much as I was just saying how much I like the deep winter, it actually takes a surprisingly long time for it to get that crazy. I mean, it's still not like that in Canada. I want it to be like deep freeze. That's when winter's fun. Till then, it's just kind of annoying, and I just needed to get the heck out of there. And yeah, I feel like all that summertime weather I got up to this point is just a sweet bonus. If this is what we got from here on in, it's not a big problem, because yeah, it's really not that bad. And I might still, you know, I left the house not entirely sure what I was going to do for my last day in this neighborhood, because I'm moving to a different Airbnb tomorrow. But as I was walking and I see those big mountains, And I'm walking parallel to them and they're just always there. And I start to feel that tug in my chest. And it's like, all right, I only got about 4 hours of daylight today, but that'd be more than enough time to hike up the mountain and then hike back down the other side to the Aburiyama Canon Temple. I could make that run easy. Because, yeah, the only thing I didn't officially do on Mount Aburiyama that I wanted to do is the brand new observation deck that I found, the one above Aburiyama Kitai observation deck, when you go up even higher on foot, is I was gonna just continue along on foot along that route. But on my other explorations up the mountain, I've realized like it really takes a very long time to go deeper into the mountain. I just don't think there's enough time at this time of year. I would have had to get up at like 8 a.m., you know, and really start early. And I'm not particularly capable of that. That's really a summertime thing. If you just want to go up in that mountain and walk and walk and walk, it's a fine thing to do. It's a fine plan, English. But not when it gets dark at 5:30 at night. That's not a good plan at all. But I can still just go, you know, just the, instead of going along the ridge of the mountain, just going up a peak and down, up and down, takes at most 3 hours, 2.5 probably. I could totally do that. That was the tug I felt in my chest. So I might do that. We'll see. Because that isn't the original plan for today. It was just seeing those mountains, feeling them tug at me. And I might still have time to do that. Because from Umebayashi Station, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to the start of the mountain. If I've got a solid 2.5 hours in front of me, I could totally pull that off. I've been up the mountain a few times now since I've been back. I'm very familiar with that route. But the other thing I want to do, the other tug that I'm feeling, is on this subway line. So Umebayashi is about the farthest I ever went. I think I walked to Noke Station once, the next station over. And it really is like the definition of a nothing neighborhood. I like it because it's so close to the mountains, but there's nothing there. There's not a coffee shop even. There is just nothing. It's just houses and agriculture stuff and convenience stores. So I never went to the end of that line, but there's three more stops. It goes all the way to Hashimoto Station, seems to be the last one. And there's some kind of mall there, which even if that's all that's there, that's not so bad. But that's the other thing tugging at me, is that need to explore, that need to know. I can't leave Fukuoka. I mean, I'm going to be here still for a little while, but I can't leave Fukuoka without seeing what's at that station, because what I've learned is that idea that, like, oh, you know, I'm almost at the end of the line and there's nothing here. So surely if I keep going, there's just nothing, and then there's nothing, and then there's nothing. I learned the error of my ways there a little bit in Toronto. What's that line called? It's not a very big subway system in Toronto. I just remember if you go up to the northern tip, near the northern tip of the Toronto subway, and then there's a little subway line that goes off to the east. And those stations are just nothing. The least used station in the entire system is there. And you know, if you got off at any of those stations, you're like, yep, there's fucking nothing here, just some buildings and a street. But when you get to the end of that line, there's a great big mall, and there's all kinds of bus connections and stuff, and there's, you know, things happening. And then I realized that especially here in Japan, at Musashi Itsukaishi stop, I went literally one stop from the end of that station, and I was like, okay, there's nothing around here. I mean, in a beautiful way, I love that neighborhood, but there's nothing there. And then I realized, you go that one extra stop, you're in a whole different community. You go past some beautiful mountains, there's all kinds of connections to buses and stuff once again, and it's a whole new world. And that's where I found all the hiking stuff to the Congo Falls and all this shit. So yeah, what I slowly and painfully learned is that, yeah, of course there's nothing on the way to the terminus, because everyone's going to the terminus because that's where all the connections are, and that's where if there's going to be anything happening around there, that's where it happens. So I got to go to that stop. I got to know what's there. Even if it's just a mall. A mall in that neighborhood would be fucking mind-blowingly revolutionary. There's nothing even resembling a mall anywhere near there. So even if all that's there is a mall, I'll consider that a win. But I got to go. So right now, I am walking toward... I'm almost there. I'm walking toward Nanakuma Station. Because if this was my only plan for today, I could just walk. I could walk all the way to the end of this subway line. Jeez, yeah, and it's already 2 o'clock. I don't know if I'm going to make it up the mountain. I don't think so. That seems unlikely. But anyway, hop on at Nanakuma, go 5-6 stops to Hashimoto, see what's there. Then theoretically, especially if there's nothing there, I could just hop back to Umabayashi and go up the mountain. But I don't know. I don't know. That is cutting it a little close, maybe. Then again, it is really not a tough hike. So I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, just time gets away from a person so quickly. But that's my plan for today. All right, exiting the station. Let's see what we got. We definitely got gray skies out there. More gray than ever. Oh, there's the mountains though. God damn, them mountains are so pretty. I don't think I'm gonna make it up the mountain today. That was just a wild flight of fancy that I felt as I walked by. The beautiful lull, the dangerous tug. But it's really not fun. Holy fuck, those mountains look nice. Holy shit. It's just like a slightly different angle, a slightly different view I've never seen before. Fuck, that's beautiful. That is like some Mount Doom shit, especially with the gray fucking skies in the background. I can't really take a picture though, because there's a power line right in the way to see if I can walk under the power line and get a... No, because then if I walk that close, then there's buildings in the way. Power lines everywhere. So that's nice. What else we got around here? Gas station, 7-Eleven, construction. I guess this is the mall. Well, I guess let's go check out the mall. This isn't seeming extremely great so far. But yeah, it's a little too stressful to start the day out knowing. You know, start a hike with like, okay, I got 2 hours before this goes fucking pear-shaped. And I think because my plan was to take the routes I've been taking recently that I'm very familiar with, if I had to walk them in the dark, I could. But especially those crazy long steps down to Aburayama Canon Temple, I would not want to do that in the night. Even in the day, it's like probably not the best for my knees to do that anyway. So yeah, that was an ill-conceived plan. Not going to do that. I might, though, from here, if there's really nothing going on in this neighborhood, as it appears there's not... The way this neighborhood kind of curves a little south, I think I'm not crazy far from Fukuoka Tower. I could head back down that way. Not that I necessarily want to see the tower again. I already did my tower trip, but just as an excuse to cut across a part of Fukuoka I've never cut across before. But all right, we got an overhead thing. Unfortunately, this construction, but I got to take this little passageway over to the mall. But yeah, one thing I wanted to mention is, man, especially so at Nanakuma, it's, you know, not an especially busy stop. And all the stops on this line, you know, they get busy when a train arrives and then it's a ghost town, no middle ground. So I got there in between arrivals, mid-afternoon. What is it today? I guess it's Friday, but nobody was there. So it's like, I'm going to hop in the washroom. And this was a similar experience to what I used to have at Hajima Station, where I'd get there and be like, man, the washrooms here are better than the washrooms in my little Airbnb apartment. But that is extremely so the case here, where it's like, no one's around. And I go in and it's all perfect because it's also, Hajima, sometimes that washroom's a little messed up because it gets a lot of traffic. Here, just perfect. Perfectly, beautifully maintained, spotless washroom with no one else in it, two different toilets, just zero stress that you're getting in anyone's way or like that you're taking up someone's time. And it's the heated toilet seat and the bidet functions, and it is just like, holy shit, this is the best. It's an actual holy shit. It's the church of shitting. It is just the best. It's so perfect. But the reason it stands out so much is, that's one thing I didn't bring up about this little creepy apartment that I'm in that I don't especially like, is that's one of the problems. We're in Japan. Japan is the land of amazing toilets. I mean, granted, squat toilets. But I guess that's the thing. There's no middle ground. It's all or nothing. Either it's a terrible toilet or it's the best toilet you've ever seen in your life. But this place I'm at, it is the worst toilet. It's fucking terrible. It's the closest to a Dutch toilet I've experienced since the Netherlands. It's awful. It doesn't have the little sink feature on the top where as it's filling, there's water you can use to wash your hands. But you know, that's just a bonus. It doesn't have the heated toilet seat, but again, that's just a bonus. It doesn't have the bidet, which is unfortunate, but that's the one that starts to hurt. It's like, man, come on. You're the land of bidets. Why isn't there a bidet on this fucking thing? Bidets are so awesome. I assume it's because oftentimes the toilet is in a separate room from the shower, which I do enjoy. That's not the case here. It's all crammed together. So I think they just can't have the electronics for stuff like heated toilet seats and bidets because there could be shower water spraying all over. So it's like, yeah, that's okay. All right. I accept that. That's fine. What there is no reason for, which I do not accept and which is awful, is it's a shelf toilet. It's got a little bit of water way at the back that is not very deep and is like a tiny little hole that's hard to even fucking hit when you're dropping bombs. But then the majority of it is just flat and dry. So if poop gets on there, which it always does, it just smells awful. It just leaves a big gross smear. I have to use a scrub brush and scrub shit off this toilet every fucking time I use it. And if you try to stand up to pee, which I'm a great advocate for sitting down, I do think generally you should just sit down to pee because pee splashes around a lot, but it doesn't splash that much in a normal toilet. But this thing, just because it's just flat, dry ceramic and a little teeny weeny fucking bit of water, it just splashes piss everywhere when you stand up. And the only reason I stand up is because just the way my bladder doesn't drain properly. You know, that's why I'm always talking about peeing in this fucking podcast. If I sit down to pee, I don't pee all the way. I just don't really have an option. We're already making fun of the Dutch for their terrible toilets. Germany got so shamed about it that they barely do it anymore. You're next. You're next up. Fucking quit it. I fucking hate that toilet. Oh, I hate it. It's making me mad just talking about it. I'm legitimately angry just thinking about this horrible toilet. But anyway, it is funny and ironic that then my salvation from my awful toilet is at the subway station. I mean, that's the beautiful duality of Japan. That is weird as heck. There's no other country where you'd go to the subway to finally have a nice poop. Anyway, there's a nice little Christmas thing set up here for kids. I'm gonna go mosey through that and then go into the mall and calm myself. Cause I don't need to go down to the Christmas thing. I can just look at it. I'm on the second floor still. As I walk by, soak it in, soak in the Christmas vibes. I guess I haven't really eaten much today either. So while I'm at the mall, who knows? Maybe I haven't gone to a food court yet. That's like a middle ground, right? That's still like trying to maneuver my way through a slightly uncomfortable situation without like going into a restaurant. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. Let's just walk through the mall and see what's here. It's only one more day. Although, maybe my subconscious, I think why I'm maybe a little annoyed about this toilet, is the Airbnb I'm going to tomorrow. It's a different owner listed on Airbnb, but the listing itself was so identical to the one I met, and then the directions they sent me were the same exact method of directions the other guy sent me, which is nice. It's like photos and everything. It's very comprehensive, but it even has the same kind of door code the same mechanism to lock the door. I think it's all run by the same big company that must just rent out a bunch of rooms. So I fear that I have another one. Another version of this same awful toilet is probably in my future, but we'll see. It just sucks so bad. All you had to do was design the bowl different. It's not that hard to do. You're ruining everyone's life for no reason. I hate it. I hate it so much. Netherlands, Japan, Germany, doesn't matter who it is. Shelf toilets are made by the devil, and you've fallen under the devil's thrall. Save yourself. Save yourself, save us all. Okay, I'm going into the mall now. So walking around the mall, there's this bookstore called Books Miyawaki. Just a little bookstore chain I've never seen before, but I mean, they're all pretty interchangeable. Just a bookstore, although this one has a window with a view of the insane mountains, which is a bonus. But it's so cool to walk around a Japanese bookstore, or when I was at a book off the other day, it's especially neat when they sell these big bricks of old manga series. Like, you can get all 18 volumes or whatever for a reduced price, a big whack of stuff. And I mean, in my shallow way, that is still, I guess, besides maybe ordering food, just reading manga, I'd be like, that'd be the coolest thing if I could read Japanese. And the one time I tried to learn a bit, way back when I was in like high school, that was why. I just wanted to read obscure romance comics and stuff, but I didn't get very far. And nowadays, a lot of that stuff, to be honest, I mean, you can find fan translations and stuff. I just don't have time. I wouldn't read them anyway, even if I had time. But what I was thinking, what's kind of cool, because I always never understood, like, why is it that I have this big, rich vein of Japanese culture in my past, you know, as I was growing up? Why is it all American and Japanese? And in the case of American, it's not at all unusual. They're the bigger country. We speak the same language. It only makes sense. Everybody, I think, has a nice, big, thick vein of America. But if there's someone who has less than usual, it's got to be Japan. There's some American stuff, but in that bookstore, for instance, I went in, nothing. There are no Japanese translations of American books. There was no American comics, for fuck sure not, you know. We have good comics in North America, but unfortunately the famous ones are superheroes, which I just think are better off as movies. Superheroes came into their own as movies, but I've never thought superhero comics were a particularly good use of the medium. They're kind of tiresome, and for some reason, that's what we do. We just love them superheroes. But there's none of that. And yeah, even for, in my case, I mean, I went to French school. I have some amount of French stuff, French comics that I knew, French comics that I read, but still just not that many. It barely penetrated, even though I was immersed in French. Basically, no culture had a shot. Not even, there's just no chance. Except for some reason, Japan. And then Japan was everywhere and was the coolest stuff. But it seems that the reason, if just to try to boil it down into a digestible idea, is that for whatever reason, I'm not totally sure how Japan became this way, but Japan is super duper insulated as far as their media goes. Some of it is just natural because of language barrier stuff, like I said, with American stuff. Of course, it permeated totally into Canada because it's just very extremely easy. There's really no difference between Canada and America in that sense. So it'd be harder for English stuff to penetrate into Japan. It's easier for them to just read their own stuff in their own language. But there's plenty of countries that could be said for. And they still don't go out of their way to really just make their own stuff, their FUBU stuff, for us, by us, like Japan does. You know, in recent years, like, South Korean media has become more prevalent. There's always, like, Hong Kong action films. There's always, you know, French new wave cinema. You know, there's stuff. But yeah, I'd be interested to see the numbers, because as far as countries that just absorb media made by their own country, besides Japan, I mean, I think America would have to be the other one. And then it feels like the rest of the world, frankly, including Canada, is just watching American stuff. But not Japan. You go to the movie theater and there's all kinds of movies you've never heard of before, and one or two American movies, a superhero movie and maybe one other thing. You go to the bookstore, not a damn thing. Everything's Japanese. Just a lot of it, just tons of, like, there's this series of novels in there that I wish I could figure out what the heck it was all about. Because it still has kind of an anime-type drawing on the front, but more of the, like, shoujo girls comics watercolor style. You know, kind of a little more European-y, a little more subdued than stereotypical anime and manga. But inside it's a novel, but it's a series of novels, and it's this girl who's just crying. She's crying on the front of every book. And it's like, what is this? What is this about? In fact, I should go back and do a quick Google Translate on the phone just to see if I can figure out on any level. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's just so many books and so much comics and so many TV shows and so much anime that is all just Japanese. So maybe that's how Japanese media managed to infiltrate North America when no one else's culture did. Maybe it's just the sheer amount of it, you know? Maybe just no one else has this on offer the way Japan does. Maybe there just isn't. Well, I mean, there isn't. There isn't Finnish shows or Brazilian shows or African shows. I know Africa's a continent and not a country, but it's a little hard to pinpoint the African country. If I had to pick one, what would I pick? What would be the country? Well, who cares? What am I talking about? Yeah, I mean, I really don't know if this is what went down, but could it be that just beyond the fact that Japanese stuff in general, it's very interesting to us because it's a different set of cultural cliche and different set of cultural assumptions. You know, once you learn them, some of the pizzazz goes away, but initially it's like, man, all this stuff is so interesting and so different, so cool and so unique, and there's just tons of it. There's just a mountain of it. Could it be that easy? Could it just be that, like, all right, we got to fill the airwaves in the 1980s and we just don't have enough stuff, but man, Japan's got all these giant robot shows. Let's go. And then later on in the late 90s and the 2000s, like, I don't know, freaking Toonami and Adult Swim and Cartoon Network. Like, we got to fill these airwaves, boys. We just ain't got enough stuff. Well, Japan sure does. Japan is pumping out this stuff like crazy. Let's do it. Like, maybe they just literally flooded us. But hey, glad they did, man. Glad I got a different perspective on stuff. Glad I got some stuff from somewhere else. And particularly, I'm glad that there's a country that still gives a shit about cartoons. You know? That's very nice. All right, let's see. Went back up the stairs. Let's see what we can do. So it is a novel. There's three different volumes here with three different covers. And it's a girl with blunt bangs and long hair. And she's crying on every cover. Then there's one over here that I think is the same series, but the art style is a little different. She's wearing a COVID mask, but she's not crying. Okay. Of Love for 30 Seconds. There's something about TikTok. Could it be a TikTok-based romance story? Hanabi Mitai Nakoi Data by Kozakura Nana. All right, good. At least I can look that up later. So no need to desperately try to translate with my phone because it ain't going to work anyway. But again, yeah, that author is Kozakura Nana. And the story is Hanabi Mitei Nakoi Data. Oh, and on the back of this one, it says 140 words love story. So maybe that's a Twitter love story. 140 words love goodbye story. And these things are about $14 a piece for these little novels. I was looking at some again, because I just like girls' romance, domestic romance comics, and they're a surprisingly rare genre. So I found one that it looked especially for younger readers. It kind of looked like Marmalade Boy, but aged down even more. So I was like, geez, I probably would not enjoy this. But it was like a fairly small little graphic novel. It was a comic book, but those ones were only $4.50. It's like, yeah, not a bad deal for a nice little chunk of comics. And over here are a ton of little novels with photo covers. These are like little wee novels that are like just the right size to read on the train for about $6.50 or $7. My rough translations of the price, by the way, are into Canadian. They would be a little less in America. Yeah, man, it's just fucking neat, dude. I mean, I haven't done a ton of world traveling to say for sure. But for instance, in the Netherlands, after you've had a terrible experience with their toilets, if you go into a bookstore in the Netherlands, there's certainly Dutch books. But not like this, you know, they're just everywhere. Or, I mean, here, let's just take my homeland of Canada. We're in a situation that I suspect a lot of cultures are probably in, where we're just desperately trying to force people to care about Canadian stuff. And it's like pathetic. We have this thing called the Canadian content laws, where by law, something like, it used to be 30%, but it might be even higher now. On the radio, on TV, X percentage of stuff needs to be from Canada. And it's so fucking obvious. It's like, Jesus, look at this low fucking budget trash, government funded awful fucking crap that they're just forcing on that would never get made otherwise. And every once in a while it pays off. There are a lot of good Canadian bands that I only know because it was like government mandated that I was forced to hear them. And it was kind of like last episode when I was saying it was cool to have a little Sega knowledge as well as Nintendo knowledge. So it's kind of like that too, where I know all these Canadian bands, but I still know all the American ones. So that's a rare case with music, where I did find out about a lot of stuff I like. And music is a lot easier to digest. Music can just play in the background, it's no biggie. But when you're forcing TV shows and you're forcing, you know, they're trying to force internet shit now. And it's like, dude, if Canada was any fucking good and anyone gave a fuck, then it would be good and people would give a fuck. So I like that in Japan, they're not having to force anybody to care about Japanese stuff. Japanese people want to care about Japanese stuff because Japanese stuff is fucking cool. You know, and again, the language barrier obviously informs this as well. But yeah, having to force your own culture into people's faces it's just sad. I can't get behind that at all. And that's what we do in Canada. So it's really cool to come somewhere where it's not that way. And I'm just strolling through the food court. It's a food court. I don't think I need to partake in the fantastic mall food court. That's not, you know, it may not be very culturally relevant to go to a convenience store, but it probably more than this. Because, yeah, my latest experiment at the convenience store is I got vinegared kelp. And it was just little squares of kelp that were vinegared with some kind of, like, powdery vinegar powder. And it was pretty fucking good. Anyway, there's a nice little culture rant at the mall. Now I think I'm going to get the heck out of here. It's not a bad mall, but it is just a mall. And yeah, I got a little daylight left. Mayhap from here. Yeah, I'm certainly not close per se to Fukuoka Tower, but it's, you know, whatever, an hour and a half walk maybe from here. That's close enough. And again, just an excuse to go walk through some part of Fukuoka I've never walked through before. I have walked from Umebayashi to Fukuoka Tower, and, you know, there was, like, quote-unquote nothing there. It was just little neighborhoods. But that's nice. I like that. So if that's all I get this time, that's fine as well. Man, I love standing outside 7-Elevens or convenience stores in general and just watching the world go by for a few minutes while you eat your stuff. I remember the first day I was back in Japan, I was all confuzzled of like, where do I go to sit? Where do I go to eat? What am I going to do? Then what do I do with all my garbage? Oh my God, do I need to get a garbage satchel? All this stuff. Because I was just forgetting the basic rhythm. You buy some stuff. You eat it while you stand outside, and hopefully there's not people smoking, which today there's not. You throw away your garbage while you're here, and you don't get so much stuff that you got to carry it around, because there's going to be another 7-Eleven just beyond the horizon. You know, I can't see another convenience store from here, but I guarantee there is one. But yeah, I'm only a little bit out of the mall. The weather's gotten a bit warmer. It hasn't rained on me, and I took off my thermal shirt even. And I'm just at, like, an intersection going across a little river. And yeah, just stopped in and got something to eat. And I'm just standing here. And it's just nice, man. I can see the mountains in the distance. Fuck those mountains, dude. They're just the best. They're... if you live in a city or a town that has mountains, I mean, they're the gift that keeps giving. They make every view beautiful. But yeah, I just got a little pork cutlet sandwich today because I just haven't seen it lately. It's been all these chicken cutlet ones. So I'm like, oh, get the old pork. And they've got Christmas-themed drinks. Starbucks had some, but I got the Mount Rainier Christmas Cafe Latte. I'm not sure if it's actually a Christmas flavor of any kind or if sugar is just generically holiday-ish. It looks like maybe there's some white chocolate on the labeling. So yeah, it could be that, because it did have a certain deliciousness that I couldn't quite put my finger on. But I'm not sure if these are, like, did they just appear because it's December 1st? Probably not. These have probably been here, but in my brain is like, it's not Christmas yet. Ignore all Christmas. Christmas seems crass on November 30th. As soon as it's December 1st, though, fuck it. Hook me up. Let's do it. Let's do some Christmas stuff. I don't know if I said it at any point, but that was my actual plan with this journey, as I knew I didn't want to stay in my hometown for another winter, and I would have to wait till spring for WestJet to offer semi-affordable flights again. They were shutting down for the winter, so I had to come now. But also, I've had some times traveling during Christmas, and they're never a great time. Because Christmas is no big deal back in my hometown, you know, just go see my mom. It's usually just my mom, my brother, my cousin, me and maybe my aunt, you know, there might be one other person or I don't know. It's just a bit of us. And we just have dinner. That's all. It's not a big deal necessarily to miss Christmas. It's just having Christmas happen when you're just all by yourself somewhere where normally it would just be like today. It's like, hey, whatever, man, just another day on the earth, just walking around. I love walking around by myself. No problem, you know. But then Christmas, you just feel like, I mean, I'm sure that's why there's seasonal holiday depression and stuff. It's just like, you're supposed to Christmas. You're supposed to do a Christmas thing. If you somehow don't have a Christmas to do, you're not doing your life right. You know, you just feel that way. And it's just a bit of a bummer. So my only plan, where initially I thought I would spend more time in Canada before I came to Japan, and then I just came straight to Japan because the Airbnb prices were so bad. But either way, my plan was I want to be in Tokyo for Christmas. Hopefully it'll snow a little bit. That'd be amazing. But it doesn't matter if it doesn't. I just knew walking around Tokyo on Christmas, I will feel fine. I will feel accomplished in my life. I'll be like, fuck yeah, this is a cool Christmas. I'm going to remember this Christmas. That was my fucking Tokyo Christmas, right on. You know, next best thing to being home for Christmas. What could be better than Tokyo, man? So that's the plan, and it's all gonna work to plan. It's all working out. And, yeah, they do quite a bit of Christmassy stuff here, but it is just on the surface, as is ours. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Our Christmas is not at all about Christ in any way in North America. But yeah, here it's definitely not. They like all the Christmas decorations and stuff, but the famous thing is that since Colonel Sanders kind of looks like Santa Claus, is that they traditionally eat KFC on Christmas, which to us is like, are you kidding? What the heck? But apparently it's really hard to get KFC on Christmas. You got to order it in advance. It's like their biggest sales day. So, I mean, that's just kind of funny because, I mean, they're not wrong, you know? I mean, Santa Claus, wasn't he just like a fucking Coke icon or logo or something anyway? So why not KFC? What's the difference, you know? But yeah, and then I also got just this little cheesecake thing that is not branded from any particular convenience store. It's Fujiya brand. Rare cheese tart. And I've seen it at a few of the different chains, and it's just so good. It's just a tiny little cheesecake tart for $1.50. Man, it's so fucking good. Today I was like, I'm not in the mood to experiment right now. Just give me all the stuff that's just good. But yeah, the other thing I noticed while I was in there is, this isn't something I notice very often, but the lady working there, she had, you know, they almost always have masks on at convenience stores. And I didn't notice until just as I was finishing up paying with my little Suica card. And I just glanced at her and said, thank you. But I was just struck with like, whoa, that is a good looking person. That is a good looking human. Just like striking eyes. And it just seems extra weird when someone's wearing a mask, when you can only see half of their face, but that half of their face is like, holy geez, I'm like stunned for a moment, you know? Just like, that's ridiculous how good looking you are. But that reminded me of when I first came to Japan in 2019 and there was a lot of people wearing masks just in day to day. And I started having that thought. I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, very uncommon to see masks in North America at that point, virtually 0%. And I was thinking, like, am I seeing enough attractive people of either gender on a day-to-day basis wearing masks that I'm going to develop some kind of weird mask fetish? Am I going to get back to North America and be like, eh, you know, I don't want to just see pretty people. They got to be wearing a mask. That's the thing. But then COVID happened and that took care of that. That's for sure. Any weird, peculiar associations I was afraid I would develop based on beautiful people wearing masks takes a little fucking wind out of those sails when the entire world shuts down for years and people are dying en masse and everything is terrifying and awful. So, yeah, so that didn't happen to me. That fetish did not develop. I'm sure it did for somebody, but I'm not that far gone yet. All right, I'm going to eat my cheese tart and finish my white chocolate fucking mocha thing. Which, again, let me reiterate for the millionth time, I'm at a convenience store. Can you even imagine being at a 7-Eleven in North America and having a delicious little cheesecake tart and a white chocolate mocha and a pretty respectable pork cutlet sandwich? And this was when I wasn't diving deep. This is like, yeah, I'm not going to get anything weird today. I'm just going to get easy shit. God damn, it's just a miracle, these convenience stores. I love them so much. Ooh, well, I was saying how the weather was better. And it is, as long as I'm surrounded by buildings. Right now I got nice buildings all around me. It's not bad at all. But the route down to Fukuoka Tower was along the bank of a little river, which seemed pretty nice. Pretty nice little path. It's like a jogging path. But the wind started hitting me and I was like, ooh, I regret this. I regret taking off the thermal shirt. And as it became clear that just that little chill in the bones was not going to abate, I started imagining being down by the waterfront, by the tower. And it's not bad to just go with your gut when you're walking around randomly. You know, just go where you feel the tug. I felt the tug at the mountains, but it's like, no, we don't have time. But I felt the tug to the end of the subway stop, and I'm glad I went there, because, yeah, again, it's only a mall, but that's been But that's been nagging at my brain for years, for 4 years now. Of like, I just never did go to the end of that. What is over there? And now I know. And I mean, it's just a mall, but it's a pretty good mall. Had a Starbucks in it. It would be a perfect place to just, because it's, again, it's kind of out of the way. There were lots of empty seats. If I'd brought my laptop, it would have been a perfect place to just sit down and chillax and do a little work. So very nice. And then just this little walk, basically I just recalibrated my walk. It's like if I do walk down to the waterfront, I'm not going to hang around because it's going to be fucking cold and windy. Miserable. So instead I was like, you know, if I just aim myself instead of going north-south, just aim myself west-east. And I get a similar walk, a bit longer, but it'll actually get me back home. Because also, once I get to the tower, then what? Take some trains that won't quite get me where I'm trying to go. So I'd call this day, this little mini teeny adventure, enough of a success. And I'm bailing out. And then here's another nice little river. There's some stone steps here that go down to the bank, but there ain't nothing down there. So I shan't go, but this is very pretty, whatever this is. And I was watching a video the other day comparing a Japanese guy traveling the world who was comparing Japan to other countries like the Netherlands, for example, with all their canals and their boat culture, houseboats and stuff. And he brought up something I had not thought of. But there's apparently not a huge history of boats in Japan because their rivers are so crazy. The same way everything around here. There's always mountains, ups and downs, hills, twisty turns. Everything is like just so not structured. And that goes all the way to the water. You could not reliably get around with boats in the history of Japan because the river was waiting to turn into a waterfall and to dash you upon the rocks at any moment. And it's like, yeah, you know, I didn't know enough about overall Japan to make that connection myself. But from what I have seen, I certainly wouldn't argue with it. That sounds pretty goddamn true. Because everything is rocks and rapids and craziness. Yeah, this is so much nicer. Just walking down this nice little river that I'd never seen before. Nice, quiet little neighborhood. Soon I'll be back to the main road just so I can actually get back where I'm going. So we'll probably just wrap up this podcast here. But for my last tiny adventure in this neighborhood, not bad. Oh, and I was saved by not having money. So whenever I find something weird in a vending machine, you know, I tend to try it out, unless it's like a steak or something, you know, some weird frozen meal that I can't do much with. But in this case, I found a machine that had crepe in a can. And it just looked like the can was like beer can size. Because I found nuts in a can in Quebec, and I thought that was the coolest thing. Oh man, it's a little can, but it's full of nuts. So they had crepe in a can, and they had blueberry crepe and strawberry crepe. I don't know if there was another kind. But I was like, you know, I literally just ate that cheesecake tart from 7-Eleven. I am not remotely hungry. I definitely don't need crepe in a can. But I was going to do it because, like, when else am I ever going to see that again? That was the first and only time I've seen crepe in a can. I love those, like, unique, if not one-off machines. Some of them are definitely one-off machines, but some of them are just very rare. But it was $10 for the crepe in a can. It was 1,000 yen. And I was like, this is all just dumb, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to try the crepe in a can. But I opened my wallet and I only had 100. I only had 10,000 yen. So I was saved from myself. Can't spend 10 bucks on crepe in a can. I mean, I'm sure it was good, but I'm also a pretty lowbrow man. If I get the whatever weird equivalent from 7-Eleven that costs $2.50, it'll be plenty good. It'll be delicious. There's this thing I found recently at some of the 7-Elevens that is it's an apple pie tart thing. So it's like, just like a pastry, and inside is half apple stuff, and the other half is whipped cream. And man, it's so fucking good. And it's not 10 goddamn dollars, that's for sure. So, I mean, the crepe in a can would have been wasted on me anyway. Yeah, it was way too much. So I couldn't get it, and I didn't get it. It's funny, though, thinking back to that one machine when I first got to Japan where I was trying to buy a can of bean soup, and I couldn't use my IC card. And I don't know why not. I don't know what happened there. Because I've used that card many times at many other machines, and it's always worked. Like, right away. No problem at all. So yeah, that's a bit mysterious. I don't know what the problem was there. Ooh, look, this river. It's on Google Maps. Kanakuzu River. K-A-N-A-K-U-Z-U River. Nice little river walk. Heading toward Kamo Station, K-A-M-O Station. But I'm just gonna walk back. Not taking any more trains today. Man, there's a bunch of old-style houses on this route, too. It's like the cool Japanese old-timey roofs, you know, like from a ninja movie, you know? With the individual little roof tiles. And the cool, I mean, I just know, I just can't describe shit, I don't know. From a ninja movie, a house from a ninja movie. They look very pretty. And again, the mountains looming behind them. What could make a pretty view better? Freaking mountains, man. So the last thing, just to make sure we don't end on a deep moment, let's end on something stupid as usual. So I was gonna buy just some cough drops, because again, I've somehow miraculously not gotten sick. I still fear it constantly. Every time I hear someone cough, I hold my breath. Just like, don't go in me, germs. I don't know how realistic that is as far as helping, but whatever. It's working so far. But it's a little tough to find, you know, like the black label Halls, the strong Halls. They don't pop up that often, so I haven't been able to find any lately. But there was Clorets in a black label. But Clorets is a breath mint, right? So I'm like, I don't know. That seems unlikely that that's what I'm looking for. Maybe, though. Maybe I'll try it at some point. But the other thing I saw was xylitol in that section of the store and in a black wrapper. So I was like, yeah, you know, maybe this is just the Japanese brand. Let's just try it. How else can I find out? So let's learn. And when I put it in my mouth, it was unexpected. It was gum. I saw pretty much right away that it was gum. So I'm like, okay, this isn't what I wanted. But then when I bit into it, it's gum that tastes like a cough drop, you know? It's cough drop gum. So it kind of serves its purpose. I would prefer a normal cough drop, but I've never had that before. I'm pretty sure we don't have that in North America. Cough drop gum. So anyway, that's what xylitol with an X, that's what that stuff is, in case you're curious. That was my final discovery for today. Tomorrow I'm off to a different Airbnb that is much closer to the train lines, so that should open up some new Fukuoka adventures. I hope you will join me for those. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.